We go to the Team Hochberg phone line to talk to somebody who has a lot of experience working various political campaigns in Illinois and also the White House and beyond. It's Regan Burke. And Regan, it's been a long time. How are you? Good to hear you.
Bob. Namaste.
Namaste is right. Let's talk a little bit about your experience in politics and how you can answer the big question everybody's asking today, which is, what about the transition? And what's your experience, first of all, with White House transition teams?
Well, what happens at the end of a campaign is that there are all these campaign workers who worked right up to Election Day, and then they wait. And then the transition is already started before they get to that day. As you know, Biden started his transition team in June. So all those jobs are filled. So you've got all these really good organizers, right, who are just sitting in their seats waiting for some, you know, for a phone call or somebody to say, we've got this job for you or that job for you, this job for you. Of course, it's different because a lot of the jobs are remote and they've been organizing by phone, organizing on their computers and things like that, organizing Zoom calls, as you can well imagine. So those jobs in a transition are filled. But when they go into all the departments and agencies, there are many jobs like that that need to be filled. So they just sit and wait. Their parents worry about them, right?
Right.
They go home and live with their parents, right? Like after college, right?
Uh-huh.
All of that. You may know people like that.
And in your experience, and you were a scheduler for Bill Clinton's presidential campaign, what's the biggest change in the way people campaign today?
Well, the biggest change, of course, is the technology, because we saw this with Obama, really got right on board with technology before any other campaign did, and did a really good job of it. But now it's elevated, and especially during COVID, you know, the people are calling more, you know, like the organizers have to get, you know, reach out to people electronically, you know, by email, text, all of that, to get them on board to make phone calls, because the Democrats this year didn't go door to door. So, you know, you have field organizers that organize people to go out and go door to door. And that didn't happen with Democrats this year. Maybe it should have, but it didn't. So it's the technology. So, you know, you really need these young people who are energetic about just sitting in their apartments and, you know, getting on their computers every day, all day long, maybe two or three computers, you know, working kind of multitasking all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very different in that regard. And the advance operation is different, too, because you can, you know, take pictures of a site and get it to somebody immediately, and they could say, that's the wrong place to be, you know, that's not the message we want, which is like what happened with the Four Seasons landscaping.
Right? Yeah, all right, slight problem there.
Really, yeah.
Do you have inside polling information that the media doesn't have, that the public doesn't have access to when you're inside a campaign as you were?
Oh, yeah. When you're scheduling in a campaign, you have to have polling information because you have to know what the issue is, the issue particularly of the day, because you want to put your candidate in a spot that displays that issue. Now, you know, we've seen, you know, the campaigns lately, they just do rally after rally after rally, or town hall meetings. But, you know, you also want to put them in a factory if you're going to talk about jobs program, or put them, you know, by a crumbling bridge if that's the issue in the area, or in the, you know, region kind of thing, if infrastructure. And that, go, you do that by polling data, by really focus groups more than what is the polling data considered, you know, phone calls and stuff like that.
Regan Burke's memoir is in that number, One Woman's March from the Streets of Protest to the Halls of Power and Beyond. And one of the great stories you have is what happened with Bill Clinton's campaign and an event that you were involved with that you had to kind of, did you change it at the last minute when the Jennifer Flowers story broke? Tell that story.
Oh, well, that story, the I was in the campaign office in Little Rock, and the whole rest of the, you know, sort of senior staff, particularly all the press people, were with Bill Clinton when that happened. And we got a call into the Little Rock office that this story was coming out the very next day. So what I knew, which is one of the reasons, you know, you kind of have experienced people. So as a person who was experienced with Gary Hart, a campaign I worked on, I knew immediately we were going to have to rent. We were going to have to get a plane full of press people. That the press operation was going to explode overnight because people, wherever he was, and he was in kind of a remote location in western New Hampshire at the time, the press were going to descend on him and that organization, right? So we, and you know, it's a time when we didn't, there were cell phones certainly, but you know, you had to use fax machines for press releases and things like that. And the calls, you know, were coming in like crazy. We didn't have enough staff in our campaign office. So, you know, everybody had to pitch in and say where he was. And we had to take care of the press because we had to corral them in such a way that they all got the story that they wanted and access to him in a press conference. So, yeah, that was... that was pretty big.
Well, we're going to get to the news at 9 from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, but I can't let you go without asking you this question. You got to meet Vladimir Putin in your experience in politics. What's he really like? What was your impression?
Steely. Just steely. Very controlled, very steely. Very businesslike in a way, you know, and no sort of BS with that guy. I mean, everything's very calculating, very calculating, and scary.
Not surprising.
Scary guy, nothing like anybody like we would meet as Americans.
More Regenberg stories on her blog, and how can people find that blog, Regan?
It's reganburk.com. Reganburk.com.
And it's R-E-G-A-N. Yeah. And the book is In That Number. Thanks for the mention on page 206. I appreciate it.
Yes, Bob's in the book.
And that was because at Hillary Clinton's 50th birthday at the Cultural Center back in 97, thanks to you, I got in a room with a lot of people where Bill Clinton was speaking. And I'll never forget this because, and I'm in there with like hundreds of people, but I'm up close to the front, and as Bill Clinton is walking off stage past me, a couple rows of people between me and the president, you know, I thought, yeah, it'd be cool to shake a president's hand, but I was scared. You know, I didn't want to do it. And I swear his eyes met mine and he read me and he kind of moved forward and shook my hand. And I'll never forget that. And they talk about the Clinton way of campaigning. Man, he did have something going, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, that was a great night, Bob.
That was fun. I'll never forget it. Congratulations on the book. In That Number, Regan Burke. Hopefully we'll meet face-to-face again before too long. Thanks, Regan.
I hope so. Thanks, Bob.
All right, stay healthy.